Greetings in the name of Christ to you all on this Palm Sunday. I'm Reverend Joan Pell, and I'm delighted to welcome you all here this morning on behalf of the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. Our congratulations to Woodbridge Methodist Church on your 150th anniversary. This service is a part of your year-long celebrations, and while we share your sadness at not being able to celebrate as you wanted to in person, we're delighted to be able to share this time with you. What an honour it is that Woodbridge Methodist Church has been able to bring a Christian witness and voice to the Woodbridge community for over 150 years. We give thanks and we celebrate the many saints whose discipleship has been lived out through your church. Congratulations and a happy anniversary. And we're also delighted to have several members of Woodbridge Methodist Church participating in our service today. A warm welcome today to anyone from Woodbridge or elsewhere watching this service for the first time. We're glad that you found us, and we pray that you will be blessed by this service. Today is an important one in the church year. Palm Sunday is a Sunday of great joy as we remember Jesus' triumphant arrival in Jerusalem before moving onto the depths of sorrow that Holy Week brings. And then the fulfillment of God's promises on Easter Day. We have a guest preacher today. We welcome our district chair, Reverend Julian Pursehouse, as he brings us a message about the promised King. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And will you please join me in our call to worship? Your parts are in white. Jesus is coming. He is coming from the mountainside, from the hill seaside, from the homes of the rich and the company of the poor, from the bedside of those who are sick. Jesus is coming along dusty roads with a ragged band of travellers. Jesus comes to Jerusalem. Jesus comes to worship. Make way for the King of Kings. Let's greet him with hosannas. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. So let's begin in praise as we sing number 265. Look around you and see if you've got something that you can wave as we sing. Maybe there's a newspaper or a book beside you, your reading glasses, a handkerchief, another item of clothing, a slipper, or just use your hands. But let's wave as we sing, make way, for the King in splendour arrives. He comes, the broken hearts to heal, the prisoners to free. Make way and let his kingdom in.
Make way for Christ the King in splendour arise. Fling wide the gates and welcome him into your lives.
Make way for the King of Kings.
For the King of Kings.
Make way
and let his kingdom. His kingdom in. those who mourn with heavy hearts, who weep and sigh. With laughter, joy, and royal crown, he'll beautify. His kingdom in. Make way for the King of Kings. Make way and let his kingdom in.
I hope you were waving as we sang. Is there a smile on your face yet? This is a joyful day. Reverend Martin Dawes is the current minister of Woodbridge Methodist Church, and he's going to lead us today in our opening prayers.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you on this holy day. We sing our praises to you as we welcome Jesus as our King, remembering that journey from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem, gentle, humble, riding on a donkey. With joy we celebrate and praise with the crowds. We cry Hosanna with all our heart and soul and mind. We lay our lives like cloaks and palm branches before him, for we are his. We are his disciples. We are his followers. We are his people. And we enthrone him in our hearts and honour him with our worship. Saviour, King, forgive our sins and weaknesses. We know how shallow our commitment can be. We know how short-lived is our praise when the realities of life challenge us. When our physical sufferings, our difficult relationships or low self-esteem drag us down and we cannot see you, grant us peace. When through our weakness, lack of understanding or impatience, our behaviour denies you, heal us. When through our sharpness of voice, selfishness of action or lack of love, we betray you, help us to turn back to you in repentance and know ourselves to be forgiven. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, touch us with your healing hand. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and remake us in God's image, that we may live and love to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Reading our first scripture today is Jenny Archer, and she is a member of Woodbridge Methodist Church, and she's also a local preacher. So listen as we hear about Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem.
The reading this morning is from the Triumphal Entry. It's from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here." If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied in a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing this for? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their coats over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Thanks be to God for this reading from his word.
Although we call today Palm Sunday, did you notice that our scripture did not mention palms? Mark tells us that many people spread their cloaks on the road and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Actually, Mark doesn't even say that they waved their branches, although tradition says that they did. If you've watched our services for the last few weeks, you will know that I've been asking for people to send in some pictures of them waving branches. So now, even though we cannot see each other, we are going to have a palm procession. So enjoy the video as we sing together number 262, All Glory, Lord, and Honour to Thee, Redeemer King. Thou art the King of Israel, David's royal son, the King and Blessed One.
They sang with hymns of praise. To thee now high exalted, a melody we raise. Thou didst accept their praises, accept the prayers we bring. Who in all good delightest, thou good and gracious King.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts in all our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, I am delighted to be with you this morning, and I want to take the opportunity to thank the circuit staff for the kind invitation to be the guest preacher this morning at your circuit worship. I'm also going to take the opportunity to offer my best wishes to the congregation of Woodbridge Methodist Church, particularly in this special year of church anniversary celebrations for your 150th. Well, I'm sure I do not need to remind you that today is the sixth Sunday in Lent, Palm Sunday, and we mark the beginning of Holy Week with the entry of Jesus into the holy city of Jerusalem. But what kind of entry is it? Reading Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11, it's easy to forget that this is the gospel of the messianic secret. Mostly in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus commands secrecy. He doesn't want to draw attention to himself or his messianic identity. He commands his disciples not to share the things that they have seen and heard. And yet suddenly, there is a great reversal of this theme. Jesus enters the holy city riding on a donkey, to all intents and purposes, a returning king entering the holy city in triumph. In response, cloaks are spread before him, palm branches are waved, there are shouts of Hosanna, and he is welcomed as the one who comes in the name of the Lord. There is a large crowd, and he is welcomed by the city pilgrims. Ironically, this is the week, with the events of the cross and resurrection, when Jesus will enter his kingdom. But he enters his kingdom as the crucified and risen Lord. Our theme for today in these series of sermons is the promised king. But what kind of king were the pilgrims really hoping to welcome? And to what extent does Jesus fulfill their expectations? In some ways, Palm Sunday can be a difficult day to celebrate. It's difficult to comprehend the Son of God, the Word made flesh, being welcomed into the holy city with joyful shouts of Hosanna, palms and scattered garments, knowing all the time that the Passion beckons. And that in the words of John's Gospel, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not welcome him. It is quite possible that the pilgrims dreamt of a military king Messiah who would overthrow the Romans, lead an insurrection, and meet might with might. A king to restore the city of Jerusalem through force and holy vengeance. Perhaps it's not surprising that almost certainly some of those same crowds were part of the gathering that clamoured for his crucifixion at the close of Holy Week. Well, friends, the same question might be put to us, to you and me. What kind of king are we waiting to embrace and welcome? What kind of Jesus are we content to travel with in this season of Lent? Now, the answers to these questions are, of course, critical. At the heart of Christian discipleship is the call to follow and abide with Christ. Therefore, we cannot separate the identity of Christ from the life of following Christ. The two belong together. Indeed, that is the very point of Mark's gospel. It is a manual of Christian discipleship. This gospel is written so that we might ponder the identity of Jesus, that we might come to know him, to love him, and to give ourselves freely and wholeheartedly to him. Just like the first disciples by the Sea of Galilee, they are invited to leave where they are, keep company with Christ, and discover a new life and calling in the kingdom of God. If we want to truly know and embrace the promised King, then we need to journey with Christ through the whole of Holy Week. We need to know the Christ who rages with anger in the Holy Temple and recognize his passion for justice, inclusion, and purity. We need to retreat to Bethany and witness his vulnerability amongst his deepest friends. Christ, who is content not simply to serve, but also to be served with care, love, and attention. We need to stand with Christ as he calls out hypocrisy, injustice, and exploitative systems of power and religion. We need to sit with Christ and his friends as he breaks bread and wine, symbolically offering and anticipating the very offering of himself in self-giving love. We need to humbly acknowledge our need for transformation as we allow Christ to kneel at our feet and wash our feet, allowing Christ to touch every part of our being with his transformative grace. We might watch and wait in the garden as he wrestles with God's calling upon his life and agonizes in deep prayer. We ponder with awe and pity as he allows himself to be arrested, mistreated, forsaken, and crucified. And in the words of Graham Kendrick, the hands that flung stars into space now surrendered to cruel nails upon the wooden cross. Here is the crucified and risen Lord who calls to himself a new humanity under his kingship. The community of the poor in spirit, the humble, the peacemakers, the meek and the merciful, the kind and the lowly, those who hunger for truth and justice. These subjects, these little people, seemingly insignificant, are the truly blessed and the truly happy ones, Christ says. To such belongs the kingdom of God. The promised king is nothing less than the king of love. This is the king we encounter in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. There is no pretense to power, vengeance, or oppressive might. There is no hankering after adulation, status, or rank. This is the suffering servant of divine love who enters Jerusalem to announce and embody the kingdom of love, justice, kindness, and mercy. But above all, the kingdom of love. When Jesus, during his earthly ministry, was challenged by a teacher of the law who asked him, what is the most important commandment? What's the most important thing at the heart of religion? You will remember that Jesus responded with these words, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In the Gospel of John, Christ likens discipleship to abiding in the life-giving vine. It is the life of abiding in love and therefore abiding in Christ, the King of love. It is that same power, it is that same kingdom that Bishop Michael Curry spoke so passionately about at the wedding of Harry and Meghan several years ago. And you will remember that he began his passionate sermon by quoting the great Martin Luther King, who said, we must discover the redemptive power of love. And when we do that, we will make of this world a new world. There is power in the name of love. I want to end with some words from a hymn, and it's Singing the Faith 479. The King of Love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Friends, this is the week to discover afresh this promised King, the King of Love, Christ crucified and risen. This is the week to discover the redemptive power of love as we give ourselves wholeheartedly to the crucified and risen Christ. This is the week to discover afresh what it is to be called to go into the world and to be a disciple of suffering and redemptive love. May Christ bless you and keep you. Amen.
Thank you, Julian, for your sermon about the type of king that Jesus was and is, the King of love, of justice and kindness and mercy, a king who had no pretense to power and who came as a suffering servant, calling us to follow him. Jesus was the King that God had promised to send, the King that we needed, even if the world had imagined otherwise. The very first Palm Sunday was a joyful time. Can you find a way to pass a bit of joy onto others today? Perhaps you can make a paper palm leaf or colour a picture of one and put it in your window to be a witness to others. Or maybe there's another way. Our prayers of intercession today are being led by Monty Guest, and he is a steward at Woodbridge Methodist Church.
As you listen to these prayers, may I invite you to respond, please. After Risen Lord, can you respond, please? Hear our prayer. Let us pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we bring our prayers for the needs of all people to you, Heavenly Father. We pray for all Christian leaders, for our district and circuit presbyters, and especially our district chair, Julian Pursehouse, and for Martin Dawes as he starts his sabbatical. May it be a time of refreshment for him. May he continued to be a blessing to others. Risen Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, we live in a troubled world. and we raise before you parts of the world where people's lives have been devastated, in Syria and Yemen. Help the leaders in these countries to seek practical ways to alleviate fear, reduce violence, provide homes, and long-term ways to reduce hunger. Risen Lord, hear our prayer. Father, we turn now to our own nation and our local needs. We pray for those in sorrow and those recently bereaved. Lord, comfort them. Bless all who are anxious about their loved ones. We now hold before you each person and family known to us who need your true peace. In a few moments of silence, we bring to you the petitions of our hearts. Risen Lord, hear our prayer. And today we give thanks for the work and witness of the churches in our Ipswich Methodist circuit. We thank you especially for the past 150 years of the ministry of Woodbridge Methodist Church and the many disciples and witnesses whose lives have been touched by your Spirit. We pray for the future of the church in Woodbridge and in our circuit. May the redemptive power of your love transform many more lives in our communities. Risen Saviour Lord, hear our prayer. Now let us say the prayer which Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Although we are full of joy from our palm procession, we, like the inhabitants of Jerusalem so long ago, still have to travel to the cross before we can arrive at Easter. As Julian reminded us, we have to journey through Holy Week to stand with Christ, to retreat with him, to sit with him, to allow ourselves to be humbled, to watch and wait with him, and to ponder his actions and death as we discover the redemptive power of love. So as we approach the darkness surrounding the events at the cross, we have seven candles here, all surrounded by thorns. We've already extinguished five candles. Today we will put out the sixth candle, and the Christ candle will be extinguished on Good Friday. But first let us listen to some more verses from Mark as we hear what happened after Jesus was arrested. And reading this scripture for us is Joyce Borman, and she's also a member at Woodbridge Methodist Church.
I'm reading from Mark 15, verses 1 to 15, followed by Mark 15, verses 25 and 26. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels, who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he realized it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "What do you wish me to do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription, the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." Amen.
During Lent, we remember the events that led Jesus to his crucifixion.
He had come into the world to bring hope and light. But at every turn, there were those who sought to extinguish that light.
Jesus came to show us all how to live.
But his words and actions angered the religious leaders, and they brought accusations against him.
They had Jesus bound and led him away and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate offered the crowd a chance to free a prisoner.
But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas for them.
Jesus did not waver, and he carried his cross to Golgotha.
A little of the light which had come into the world was snuffed out by those whom Jesus had come to save.
O God of life, on this Lenten journey, guide us towards the darkness of the cross as we trust in your promises, revealing the power of transformation and the hope of resurrection.
Amen.
I'd like to thank everybody who has participated in our worship today, especially those from Woodbridge Methodist Church who joined us, Reverend Martin Dawes and Monty Guest for leading our prayers, and Jenny Archer and Joyce Borman for reading our scriptures. Our thanks too to our district chair, Reverend Julian Pursehouse, for his message, and to our musicians, Elizabeth Story, Neil Hepplethwaite, and Adrian Pell. Our thanks to all of them. Woodbridge Methodist Church have a special website to celebrate their 150th anniversary year. I encourage you to check it out. You can find it at wmc150.methodistic.org.uk. It would be lovely to know that you have been worshipping with us today. I'm sure Woodbridge would love to know that you were here. Above this video, if you're on the Methodistic website, is a form, and you can type your name and your location and click the red button. We have lots of events for Holy Week coming up. I encourage you not to skip over Holy Week. We have a Stations of the Cross brochure, which is on the Methodistic website already, that you can download and use at your own pace as you walk the journey to the cross. And we also have services, video services, on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. They will be available early in the morning on Thursday and early in the morning on Friday. And some of our churches are open either on Thursday or Friday, and a number of them on Easter Day. You can check the plan out on the circuit website to see which of those churches they are. And then on Easter Day, we also have a circuit video service where Reverend Matt Finch, pioneering and church planting officer for the Methodist Church, will help us to celebrate Christ's resurrection and the promise fulfilled. We come now to the time in our service where we offer ourselves to God, our time, our talent, and our treasure. And I encourage you to support your local congregation. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, as we bring our gifts and lay them at your altar, we remember the crowds in Jerusalem who laid their branches and cloaks on the road, shouting, "Hosanna!" as Jesus passed. We know they were looking for a Messiah who was different from who you sent Jesus to be, not one of political power and military might, but one who came in compassion and mercy to heal, love, and save. Bless and use these gifts in ways that boldly proclaim to our local neighbourhood that Jesus is the King of Love. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to finish today by singing a song called Ride On. And it's been written by David Wellborn, and David is a member of Museum Street Methodist Church. And he wrote this hymn about 20 years ago now. And we're going to sing David's hymn to the well-known tune Winchester New, which you know as the tune for Ride On, Ride On in Majesty. So as we sing Ride On, Ride On to loud acclaim, ponder the lyrics, which will take us through the days of Holy Week.
Ride on, ride on to loud acclaim. The crowds have come to praise his name. With palms and gloves the streets they paint. Messiah's come, they cheer and wave. Ride on, ride on to court of prayer. With cheating filled, where griefs lay bare, the temple priests want their own way. This man must die, is what they say. Ride on, ride on, the friends have met, their feet are washed, the supper's set. When bread is blessed and wine is poured, they gather round to praise the Lord. Ride on, ride on, the darkness falls, the meal is done, the garden calls, his friends asleep, he prays with tears. With traitor's kiss, the God appears. Ride on, ride on, the courts convened. God's written law is contravened. With made-up charge, they make their claim to kill this man.
Now to journey through Holy Week, trusting in God's promises. and the blessing of God, who creates, redeems, and restores, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.